For quite a number of years, I have been a student of Freemasonry, and it has been my aim to follow into the distant past the lines of causation by means of which our noble institution has been developed into its present form and influence. Steadily but surely, the origin of the craft has been pushed back amid the dim mists of farthest antiquity. Not that in those far-off times there was anything like the present organization or ritual, but that our genealogy includes the builders of the great cathedrals of Europe, those who gave glory to Rome and Athens, and even those who reared the wonderful temples at Karnak or heaved the pyramids above the sands of Cairo, is now the accepted belief. With the advance of knowledge, the better and more complete understanding of the factors that go to make up our present civilization, and the constant bringing to light of facts that for long ages were lost from human sight, it becomes morally certain that the roots of our modern masonry may be traced not only to the reign of Solomon and the structure erected on Mount Moriah, but far beyond that day and generation. Within the last half century, the archaeologists have pushed their investigations into almost every nook and corner of the world, and they have brought forth from the storehouses of the long ago a more complete record of the thoughts and deeds of those of ancient times than was ever before in the possession of mankind. Throughout the Peloponnesus, and by the waters of the Nile, and in the valleys of the Tigris and the Euphrates, they have been digging in the earth and uncovering the story of man's development in ages long anterior to the Christian era. The discovery of the Rosetta Stone, the laying hold upon the secret of the deciphering of the cuneiform inscriptions of Assyria, the finding of the laws of Hammurabi, these, with other helps that have been afforded, have led to a discarding of the conceptions previously entertained regarding the peoples of antiquity, and made it plain that we must reconstruct our theories of the far-off past. And it is abundantly evident that they of old time were wrestling with much the same problems that confront us at the present moment. And they were dealing, in their way, both with the practical protection of their welfare as workmen and with the philosophy of life, the distinction between the body and the soul that tenants or is imprisoned in the flesh. That the great multitudes of those of operative skill were banded together, and that they hedged themselves about with secret means of identification, there is today no shadow of doubt, and that these were the progenitors of our modern lodges, and that we are their lineal descendants, in my judgment, it is impossible, reasonably, to deny. They who in this day write the history of Masonry are more and more inclined to look upon the 24th of June, 1717, as but a date when the transition from its operative to its speculative form was fully consummated. They are not content to start at that point and simply tell us what it since has been and done, but almost without exception, they go back from that date to the stonemasons of the Middle Ages, and through these to the Roman corporations of builders, which had their origin under Numa Pompilius in the 8th century before Christ, and try to connect these in some more or less definite way with the architects and builders of Egypt and Assyria, and to show that we may justly claim that this is the attested line of our descent. To this kind of work I have applied myself with much interest, but it is only the following of the history of what was in effect but an old-time knights of labor. It is worth our while, in my estimation, for it is no small honor to be allied with an institution that spans so many centuries, and there is a certain justifiable pride in the great age of the craft. But fundamentally, I do not personally worship dust-begrimed antiquity. Nor do I go into any temple of the long ago to find the idols at whose feet I lay my truest sacrifice. It does not necessarily recommend a thing to me to tell me that it is old. If I love it heartily, it is because within it is embodied a nobler song, a higher ideal, a more vital help and inspiration than I can find elsewhere.